Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison, on Island Radio, KISL Avalon, at 88.7 on your FM dial, and anywhere on the planet at kislavalon.com on your internet dial. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerky. On this week's show, Joe Moss and Bernie Cummins have birthday segments, and we'll also hear some tunes by Paul Ash, Visit the Fortune Teller, and Give You the Finger.
What?
Last week, March 16th, marked the birth in 1896 in Manhattan of Joseph Moss to Morris Moss, a barber, and Annie Feldstein. At age 14, he was working as an errand boy, but his first musical job was as a drummer in the orchestra of the two-act musical Just a Minute, which opened at the Court Theater on October 27th, 1919, and ran for 40 performances. Beginning in 1926, Moss worked for Meyer Davis as New York manager and musical director until at least January of 1929. Unlike many of the band leaders we feature on the show, Joe Moss was not particularly well known in nightclubs, restaurants, and other such venues. But as a 1931 article in the Brooklyn Daily Eagle pointed out, wherever the socially prominent gather, whether in Washington, New York, Palm Beach, or the estates of Long Island and Westchester, Joe Moss furnishes the music. By age 34, he had played for four presidents, Charles Lindbergh, Admiral Byrd, and a command performance for the Prince of Wales. And he was kept busy playing debutante and assembly balls, teas, dinners, and receptions for high society. In the 30s, he was heard on radio playing for a decidedly different audience, as in 1932, when he was heard over WEAF with the comedy and harmony trio The Three California Nuts, Cliff Arquette, Ken Brown, and Red Corcoran, known on the Pacific Coast as The Three Public Enemies. Unfortunately, I have no information about Joe Moss from the mid-30s on, but we do have three nice records, and I can sit back and relax now, because someone else is going to introduce this first record.
This is Joe Moss and his orchestra greeting you with a group of two new foxtrots. First, Banking on the Weather, followed by A Great Big Bunch of You.
Love untold, neath the lucky stars we hang. There are hearts of gold when my work and hustle is through. Here's the kind of banking I do. Banking on the weather, hope it doesn't rain. Banking on the weather to bring us together again. Banking on the moonlight, and the little stars. I know that banks may come and banks may go, but there's no bank like ours. Banking on the love nurse beside the waters blue. Banking on the interest I always get from you. Banking on your kisses in a lover's lane. Banking on the weather to bring us together again. Thank you.
a great big bunch of you. A little kiss, a little sigh,
a little lie, did I.
A little who's this, a little what's this, and a great big bunch of you.
One morning I encountered you while strolling through the park.
Really? And after that, what did we do?
Well, we started whistling in the dark.
Oh, what happened then?
Oh, quite a lot.
You know, I don't seem to recall, so tell me what.
A little who's this, a little what's this,
and a great big bunch of you.
Riding high and wide and don't ever stop. Those ornery mavericks need a strong, steady hand. Yip them up, round them up, trip them up, tie them up. Use your brand. Saddle your blues to a wild mustang and gallop your troubles away. Away, 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 away.
as your eyes are blue. Bright is the night if you love me. Love me as I love you. So come with your sweetest kisses. Don't let me say and say. Blue is the night above me. Blue as my heart is blue. Bright as the night if you love me. Love me as I love you.
Davis's Hotel Astor Orchestra under the direction of Joe Moss in January of 1930 with Blue is the Night. The vocalist on Brunswick 4748 is Scrappy Lambert. Blue is the Night was written by Fred Fisher and is heard in the 1929 Norma Shearer picture, Their Own Desire, where it's sung by Chester Gaylord and is heard throughout the film as background music. Fun fact, Norma Shearer was nominated for the Best Actress Oscar for Their Own Desire, but lost to herself, winning it for The Divorcee. Before Blue is the Night, quite a different sound from Joe Moss and his Society Dance Orchestra, with Saddle Your Blues to a Wild Mustang. Vocalist Buddy Clark is uncredited on the label of Brunswick 7617, waxed February 7, 1936. Saddle Your Blues was composed by George Whiting and Buddy Bernier, with the lyrics by Billy Hayde. Around 1932, Victor was experimenting with 33 and a third RPM program transcriptions, and Columbia began experimenting with what they called longer playing records, still 10-inch 78 RPM discs, but with a finer groove, allowing for 4.5 to 5 minutes per side. They gave up after issuing about 8 of these in the 18,000-D series. We started the show with one of them, all 4 minutes and 37 seconds of 18003-D, pairing Banking on the Weather and A Great Big Bunch of You on the A side, and Meet Me Tonight in the Cowshed and When We Ride on the Merry-Go-Round on the B side. The label of that record reminds us that Joe Moss is featured on the Lucky Strike Hour. The vocal refrain was by Audrey Marsh and Sammy Fain. I'm Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, we celebrated Paul Asch's birthday with 3 recordings by Paul Asch and his orchestra, but I mentioned he was also a composer. Most of his composer credits are shared with others, including Larry Shea, Abe Ullman, and George W. Meyer, and you don't always know to what degree each contributed to the song, so for this segment, I've chosen 3 tunes on which Paul Asch gets sole composer credit. Here's Ben Pollack's Californians. Thank you.
once again and kiss me just once again in the midnight again, and let's hope we'll meet again, just once again, sometime. Hearts feel so blue, dear, when dreams don't come true, dear, like bubbles they fade away.
Thank you.
There you have three songs with composer credit claimed solely by Paul Ashe, at least according to the discography of American Historical Recordings. These three also happen to have the sole lyricist as Walter Donaldson. The song we just heard is listed in various combinations of Thinking of You and I've Grown So Lonesome, separately and together, with and without parentheses. The Leo Feist sheet music with a profile photograph of Paul Ashe says, I've Grown So Lonesome, without parentheses, followed by Thinking of You on a second line in larger bold caps. It reminds us that it's a new ballad foxtrot by the writers of That's Why I Love You, and that you can't go wrong with any Feist song. I've played Thinking of You a couple of times before, but that's the first time for that particular record by the Clevelanders, a Harry Reaser pseudonym with Harry on banjo, Ruby Greenberg on violin, and of course you recognize the vocalist as Tom Stax. Brunswick 3375 was recorded on November 12, 1926, and also issued in the UK, Australia, and Germany. Ruth Etting also recorded Thinking of You, but we heard her on July 13, 1927, with Just Once Again. She was accompanied by Rube Bloom on Columbia 1075-D. We started the set with You're the One for Me by Ben Pollock's Californians. I've played that record a couple of times, but most recently over 7 years ago. It was recorded in Chicago on December 17, 1926, with take 3 of 4 issued on Victor 20461. The vocalist was Isla Mae Bailey. She was a Juilliard-trained soprano originally from Kansas. Sometime after this recording, she took piano lessons at the Lee Sims School of Music in Chicago, and they wound up becoming a team, both personally and professionally. Sims introduced Isla Mae on his late-night radio program called Piano Moods on the NBC affiliate WMAQ, and she was an instant hit. The pair were also heard on Rudy Valley, Ben Burney, and Phil Baker's shows, as well as appearances on stage and film. I found only one other recording by Isla Mae, My Kind of Love, for Brunswick in March of 1929, but it was unissued. Lee Sims was born April 30, 1898, and remarkably hasn't had his own segment. We'll remedy that next month. Last week, March 14th, marked the birth in 1900 in Akron, Ohio, of John Bernard Cummins to Michael John Cummins, a tea merchant, and Marianne Cullen. Growing up, he was a boxer and played drums in local bands. At age 19, he was working as a real estate salesman, but soon after formed a small band of his own which debuted at the Toadstool Inn in Cincinnati in 1923, and the band soon became enormously popular at nightclubs, hotels, and ballrooms across the country. They were heard extensively on radio and were one of the most recorded dance bands of the era. On May 24, 1930, Bernie married Catherine Mahoney at a mass at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. Son Bernie Jr. was born in 1939. The band remained popular into the 1950s, playing at Las Vegas hotels until 1959. Bernie Cummins retired to Boca Raton, Florida, where he died September 26, 1986, and is interred at Boca Raton Municipal Mausoleum. Here are three from Bernie Cummins and his orchestra. Thank you.
reminds me of you.
It was covered by Phil Harris, Norman Phelps, Virginia Rounders, and others, and heard in the 1930 Fleischer Studios talker tune short, Barnacle Bill, sung by Billy Murray and Margie Hines. But there you have the original, Minnie the Mermaid, subtitled A Love Song in Fish Time, by Bernie Cummins and his Hotel New Yorker Orchestra. They made three takes on March 10, 1930, and the first one was issued on Victor 22355. Minnie the Mermaid was written by Buddy DeSilva. Before that, the vocal trio of Bernie, brother Walter Cummins, and Paul Roberts with Lonely. That's heard in the MGM picture Call of the Flesh, starring Ramon Navarro, who manages to share composer credit with Herb Stothert. Clifford Gray wrote the words. Victor 22494, recorded July 24, 1930, is being heard for the first time on the show. We started a little tribute to Bernie Cummins with his Toadstool Inn Orchestra under the direction of Gene King with Home Folks Blues. I last played that record almost 22 years ago. That's right, on the August 12, 2001 show. I didn't tell you then that Home Folks Blues was written by Fred Rose and Arnold Johnston, but did mention that Jeanette 5395 was recorded January 28, 1924, as well as that the Toadstool Inn was in Cincinnati, Ohio. I didn't tell you that the Toadstool, correctly two words, but one word in newspapers, Inn, was at 3516 Reading Road at Hutchins Avenue. It was owned by F. Joseph Lamping, who leased it to Daisy Merchant, who paid Lamping 15% of food and beverage sales and 20% of admission fees with a guaranteed minimum of $20 a day. The Toadstool Inn got its name from the concrete tables and stools shaped like mushrooms, which surrounded the outdoor dance floor. There were also apartment buildings adjacent, and the tenants didn't appreciate the music being played at all hours every night of the week. Mrs. Henrietta Helwitz took action and sued, saying it wouldn't be so bad if it were music, but this is jazz. At trial before Judge Stanley Redinger, others testified that jazz is like a tomcat howling, jazz is a horrible noise, and jazz is a conglomeration of sounds and isn't music. The defense argued that jazz was legitimate music, performed in parks throughout the city, and the finest citizens in town enjoyed jazz at the Toadstool. The judge ruled that outside performances had to stop at 10:30 p.m., but could move inside if it could not be heard outside. The Toadstool Inn survived well into 1925, but the site is now an apartment building. I'm Glenn Robison, and Rapidly Rotating Records is heard each and every Sunday evening at 6 on Island Radio, FM 88.7 KISL Avalon. And you don't have to stop listening at 10:30 p.m., because this and every one of our previous shows are also available 24/7, on demand, anytime at all, online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. And we're on all the major podcast directories. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but I enjoyed the Oscar-nominated film The Banshees of Inisherin. I'm not going to give anything away, but those of you who have seen or will see the movie will know why this segment of the show is all about fingers.
gonna wake up till I go to bed, starting in my fingers, going to my head. Rhythm in my elbows, that's my makeup, I was born that way. Rhythm in my elbows, and I don't mean maybe. I get warm at the beat of those drums, I'm in form when I'm snapping my thumbs. I'm not normal when anyone hums, hi-di-di-dum-dum-dum. Music in my fingers seems to take up every melody. Music in my fingers makes a fool of me.
Victor Arden and Phil Oman and their orchestra, with Frank Luther taking the vocal honors on Music in My Fingers, from Victor 22892, December 23, 1931. Richard Myers wrote the music and Ed Heyman the words. We started off that digital set with Rube Bloom and his tune, One Finger Joe, from Victor 25227, December 18, 1934. A few months ago, we had a Chop Suey segment in which I pointed out that Chop Suey did not originate as a dish in China, but was concocted here in the U.S. Likewise, although they're associated with Chinese restaurants, fortune cookies did not originate in China, but were invented in San Francisco. Not only that, they weren't made to be served in Chinese restaurants, but were created in 1918 to be served at the Japanese Tea Garden in Golden Gate Park. It was only later that they were picked up by San Francisco's Chinese restaurants, and then, well, just about every Chinese restaurant. Today, the Golden Gate Fortune Cookie Factory in San Francisco makes 10,000 fortune cookies a day by hand, but that's nothing compared to the largest fortune cookie producer, Wonton Foods in New York, which manufactures more than 4 million a day. I know. And for this segment, you have the good fortune to hear some rapidly rotating records about fortunes.
Thank you. man coming over here with that robe on and them bath towels wrapped around his head.
That's the fortune teller. That's what you come in here for, ain't it? To get your fortune told. Shut up now. Let's hear what he's got to say.
What can I do for you, gentlemen? I want to get my fortune told, Milton, but it's so scary in here.
Ain't no use to get scared now.
Ah, gentlemen, I am the great Mystique. Just step in the back room.
Come on, let's get on back there.
I'd with you, Henry. The only thing I was getting kind of scared around here. Have a seat, gentlemen, have a seat.
Sit down, Sam, sit down.
Now I am the great Mystique. I read the crystal and I tell you everything.
You better not tell him too much, mister.
All I want to know is about Liza, that's all.
I will tell you everything. My price is $1 in advance.
Give the man a dollar, Sam.
Yeah, you is, mister. Yeah, you is.
Now, gentlemen, I am going to look into the crystal where I will see all. And remember, I go into the trance. And while I am in the trance, my eyes are open, but I cannot see. My ears are open, but I cannot hear.
Wait a minute, y'all. Wait a minute, y'all. I'm getting scared around here now. I don't want to go into none of them transom things.
Why don't you shut up now? Let the man go into what he's going into.
Just be careful, gentlemen, and do as I say, because it is a great strain when I go into the trance.
Hear what the man say now? Do what the man tell you to do.
Go ahead, Mr. Eyes, ready.
I will now look into the crystal.
Wait a minute, y'all. Henry, let's get out of this here, please.
Sit back down that chair. The man sees something.
That's what I'm scared of. I don't see it.
Shut up now. Shut up and listen.
I see in the crystals that you are from the south.
Well, I be doggone, Henry. The man is right. Mm-mm.
Take your time now. Don't get nervous.
I see in the crystals the girl, the sweetheart. She is beautiful.
That's Liza, Henry. That's Liza, boy.
If you don't shut up, that man's going to bounce that ball on your head.
I can see the girl. She is very dark.
That's Liza, all right.
I can see her doing something, but it's a great strain on my brain. But if you will lay the dollar bill on the table, I will tell you.
Lay it down there, Sam.
There you is, mister. There you is.
She is at the party. She is dancing, but I am under the great strain. But if you will lay another dollar bill on the table, I will tell you more.
What must I do, Henry? What must I do?
Pay the man another dollar.
There you is, mister.
It is much clearer now. She leaves the dance with the man. She gets into the automobile.
Uh-oh, this is going to cost you $2.
But, I am under another strain, and I can tell you the big secret if you lay the dollar on the table.
Henry, I was worried to death now. I wonder what Liza's doing. You and my friend, Henry, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do.
Is you going to do what I tell you to do?
I sure is, Henry, because I got to find out about Liza. She's in an automobile. What must I do, Henry? What must I do?
Well, stop letting this great mistake dollar you to death and buy that automobile and go back down into Birmingham and put that man out.
That's a good idea. Come on, Henry, let's get out of here, and I'm going to cut the train and going down to Birmingham.
In the distant future, But what the fortune teller said came true. I found you.
Johnny Green and his orchestra, with Johnny Green at the piano and Peg LaCentra at the microphone, with The Fortune Teller, written by Johnny Green and Ed Heyman. That Royal Blue Columbia 78, number 2943-D, was made August 13, 1934. This was Peg LaCentra's first commercial recording, but she went on to sing with Artie Shaw's band and voice dub on-screen singing performances for actresses Susan Hayward and Ida Lupino. Before that, Freeman Gosden and Charles Carell as Sam and Henry, before they were Amos and Andy, with their humorous sketch, Sam and Henry at the Fortune Tellers. That was recorded in Chicago on May 27, 1926, and the label of Victor 20093 reminded the owner of the record that Sam and Henry were heard nightly on WGN Radio at 10 p.m. We started the segment with another fortune teller, the overture from Victor Herbert's 1898 operetta, The Fortune Teller, which opened September 26th at Wallach's Theater. I don't have the discographical information for that recording, but I believe it's from around 1933. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to rapidly rotating records. If you had even half as much fun as I did, then I had at least twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention.